passes. Miscellaneous staff. Let me start with Rolly.
Just an update on the panel management. So I was in communication with the physicians. And also not going to be available for the paper meetings. Bob Campbell had also indicated the controller at the county is also not available for February 9th. So we're exploring other dates with the interested parties to bring that back to the board. So it may, we're looking at the March meeting, the first meeting in March right now, but I still have to confirm with two of the physicians whether that's a good date for that.
Okay. Tim?
Which is
nothing additional to add.
Alexis?
Nothing additional to add.
Okay. Karen?
We had a good session last Friday for the caliber attorney's roundtable. Lots of educational topics. One of our mandatory educational requirements as attorneys. So very good. Nothing else to add.
Okay.
Jim? Is going to do an ethics class again?
I think they're due.
This time?
I think so.
Tim?
Nothing to add.
And Gail?
Just a couple of things. One, we recently received information on this year's COLA. Looks like we'll have a 3% COLA for April 1st. It'll be back at the next board meeting for the board to consider. The experience study that Siegel is working on, I've been having some discussions with them on that. The typical process in the past has been that they pretty much work on the experience study at the same time that they're working on the prior year evaluation report. One issue with that is that sometimes there's not a lot of time in coming up with the experience study and bringing it to the board for considering different assumptions, and you know there's not a lot of time in there to bring back additional items for the board to consider, that kind of thing. Another option, which many other plans do, is actually to have prior year's data included in that experience study and not try and use the prior year's information in the experience study. So for instance, if we were to just go about our business and do it how we normally do, we would have 2013, 14, and 15, the experience from those years included in the experience study. If we change it, we would have 2012, 13, and 14 included in this first year's experience study report. The impact of it is that the 2012 data would be used in two experience studies. Siegel is confident that it wouldn't that it would not have an impact on the reliability of the study. So I can have Paul Angelo come and talk a little bit more to the board about it, but I think in a number of ways it makes sense. So I wanted to throw that out there.
Would it have any effect with PEPRA members because they started January 1, 2013? Something to consider. Yeah. I know that that changed because we, when they were proposing it, when we were trying to get the numbers for PEPRA members, when we didn't have any, they were essentially making assumptions. And then it changed a little bit. So I'm wondering if, since it's such a small statistical, I guess, population, you know, because you're only, yeah, snapshot's going to include everyone probably for PEPRA. Just something to consider.
Just a quick reaction. It's small enough to not likely to have a real impact. And I would tell you it's what they're describing is very traditional from an actuarial point of view, to stand back so that you have the data using 12 as opposed to 15. That over time, the difference is de minimis at best, and it allows you to be much more timely and not be so compressed in trying to do the work. So I just tell you that makes, from at least my experience, makes sense.
The only thing that comes to mind besides PEPRA is we've had a large exodus of employees retired.
Mm-hmm. Good point.
How that might bear on this.
When was that?
So we also looked.
12.
Yeah, so 2011 was a huge year of retirements. 2012 was large, but not as large as 11, and then it's just kind of level off since then. And Raleigh, did you have a comment?
What you're saying is 2011 was really what drove a lot of people out into the state of the PEPRA legislation. 2012, it actually, it's like a cliff, it goes off. And then for 13 and 14, 13 is about half of what 12 was.
Right.
If you remember back in the look at the look back spike, there's a huge bell over 2011, and it does level off. So double counting 2012, you wouldn't have any pepper retirements in there in the experience study. So that would be good. And then on the contribution side, it'd be very, very small because I hadn't started until 2013 anyways. So based on what Siegel has presented, it seems a very logical way to actually proceed. Use 12 both counted as the last year for the previous one and the first year for this experience study.
So unless you'd like to consider it further at a future meeting, I'm okay pursuing that.
Are they doing this for all their clients?
They do this approach with a number of their other clients.
Majority, do you know, or just a number?
I wouldn't be able to answer that question.
Tell me. What's the timing? How much sooner we'll get the information?
I'd have to look at the timing. It's not going to be any later than obviously we currently receive it. I'll have to get back to you with the timing. I have some notes at my desk.
I meant to ask Tim, I'm sorry. Were you finished? I was going to ask him something else.
Yes, I'm done.
No, I'm just curious.
Rusty, it's your turn now.
Well, no, I don't mean, could you? I was just
curious. No, I'm done. I'm saying
2015, where did we end on our rate of return?
We're still a few weeks away from having all the limited partnership returns in. I think on the public markets that we've taken a look at, we're like positive 2% territory. Mm-hmm.
2%.
Yeah, and we're waiting for all the real estate to come in, all the private equity, all the private real estate to get the fourth quarter numbers there. So
that's good.
There's a good chunk of the portfolio that has yet to be manifested in that number.
You didn't start with neg, so we were good.
Yeah.
Well, let's stop there.
And remember, too, there's a number of deferred gains from prior years that are continuing to be smooth, so that'll help offset some.
But on the public,
that next meeting, Tim.
Ed, we have that next meeting.
Not Tim, Ed.
But Tim, on the public side, maybe it's less straightforward than that. But for the most part, on the public side, we're up to.
For what period?
The for the year. It's a positive 2%.
In aggregate, yeah. Bonds up, equities close to flat. I'd have to go back and tear that number apart a little bit. Obviously, a large currency effect on the international and the global equity and the global fixed income portfolios. But everything, while it bounced around a lot, kind of came out to this fairly neutral position for the year,
okay,
which we're happy to be on the positive side of zero at this point, and hopefully that sticks around. And make that stick around.
Control the market, after all.
Harvey, outside professional comment.
I'll make two comments. One, Karen was being overly modest in reporting on the Calipers conference of the attorney roundtable. Karen ran and managed it. If you can imagine what managing 30 attorneys in a single room is like,
God,
she did a fantastic job, and everybody, thought it was an incredibly productive day, and she managed to balance speakers with getting people to speak about what issues they were facing in their own system. So it was a very good exchange, and there was a groundswell to make Karen have to do it again the next time.
And I'll just note that after the agenda was released, there was actually additional folks that signed up to go.
Oh, well, that makes sense.
Yeah.
So. You mean after the meeting was over?
How do you get
30? No,
after the agenda was released.
Only
showing
one question.
All of
how
the
many
great
times
topics
during that session was the following expression used? On the one hand, but on the other hand.
Not even once.
Not even once.
Too many.
Wow.
Not too many.
Well, the great thing about being the chair and moderating is that you probably learn double or triple than the rest of the attendees, because I worked with each presenter, reviewed their presentation materials, made sure that it truly is educational, so we could get the bar to approve educational credits for it. So I learned a lot from it.
Great. Very good.
There's been a real turnover in council too at various systems. So Karen is now one of the senior certainly senior general counsel there. We've had a lot of, you know, different systems have moved a lot of new people into their positions for the system. The other thing I'm sure you're all aware by now, but just to mention on the record, is that the so-called pension reform initiatives that were floated out there and waiting for the Attorney General to put titles on them essentially crashed and burned. The proponents are not going forward with them on the ballot for November. There's been a lot of face-saving press about why, and they think the world will crater worse over the next 2 years, and the general public will be more interested in pension reform after things get bleaker and darker in the United States. That was kind of one of the lines that was put out. But essentially, we won't be dealing with those two ballot measures in the November election. So a lot of people have gone back to their corners. Labor has gone back to its corner to deal with other things, including the Supreme Court decision that's about to come down on labor fees, union fees. So that issue won't be in front of any of our constituencies.
However,
on the other hand.
Yeah, there's a new group that's formed.
No, right? Maybe not. I don't know. John Murlock is out and wrote an opinion.
Oh, yes.
And did you read it?
Sure.
Okay, pensions drowning California and its cities. And it's talking about the effect of GASB 68 now that it's in our CAFRs. And what it might do once the public, especially the media, picks up on this. You know, we may begin to get a lot more press coverage about it. And it could stir up, you know, the mass again.
Yeah, that's big. You know, one of the, I think the Boston College Pension Group put out a study last week that came up with a ratio number, so based on GASB 68. And what they did is they took the total pension, the unfunded liability that now appears as a liability on the balance sheets of our plan sponsors, and they measured that against their annual revenues. And so they come up with a number in the 200 or 300% range, and that's supposed to be shocking. The headline is pensions, you know, the pension obligation is swamping the revenues of our plan sponsors. But if you draw a more personal analogy to that, that's like saying how much is your home mortgage a percentage of your annual income. The mortgage is a 30-year mortgage. Our unfunded liability is a 20-year liability. To develop a ratio of that liability to your single year's income, I think is a bit of a distortion. I'll editorialize on that. There's enough of an impact already that we don't need to distort what it is. So to measure a 20 or 30-year total liability against 1 year's income, I think is a distortion. That's the kind of thing that I think systems have some obligation to make sure that their stakeholders understand the truth and the real facts. People can draw their own conclusions, but putting that ratio out there as a shock number, it seems to me, is a disservice to our pension funds. And that's my editorial comment.
Is there a contra?
That's right.
There's plenty of other data out there that's scary enough, and the returns from last year don't help when you have an assumed rate of return.
Thanks, Tim.
Sorry.
But so there's enough data out there to scare people, but I don't think we need to unnecessarily scare them with ratios like that are really meaningless.
All right, trustee comments.
One other on the minutes. Oh, I'm sorry.
One other or two other comments while we're on.
I'm sorry. Yes.
No problem. Some personnel changes at First Eagle. In fact, I have a list here, so let me go through these. Matt Lamphier was promoted to the director of research for Global Value Team. Okay, that's probably a plus. Bridget McGaskill is stepping down as the CEO in March. That was just announced last week. She will stay on and chair the board of the parent company, ASBH. So she will still be involved, but I think she's in her 60s and looking to spend more time family and philanthropies. They hired a CEO from Jennison Associates. Jennison is a part of Prudential. So he was 4 years the CEO of Jennison. His name is Mahmoud, Mehdi Mahmoud, M-A-H-M-U-D. So he'll be joining them. And then John Arnold, who is the CIO at First Eagle, is also retiring. He'll retain chair of First Eagle Investment Management and also a board position on the ASBH parent company. He's not really involved in the investment process, and in fact, the CIO position is going to be folded. So he was more of an ambassador for the firm than a director of the portfolio that we're invested in. So a number of those transitions. Also, as of December 1st, the firm completed their equity transition. So now the family ownership has decreased from 60% to 25%, and employees is up to 17% with incentives that could increase further to 25%. The remaining portion is owned by Blackstone and Corsair, and so still sizable positions there. And the board overall is now half Blackstone Corsair and half of management internally. Taking this all together, we view this as an operational flag. We don't see performance issues with the strategy, so that's not causing concerns. We do view this, though, as potentially beneficial long-term. They have these transition management issues, or they're managing their transition issues. And so as they walk through them, we'll pay close attention and see how they do. But long-term, this should be a good thing. We just want to be sensitive to any bumps along the road. The other topic is just an outline for future meetings. I had mentioned that we want to come back to you in March with the overlay and transition management programs that you've given us direction to go on today. Also in March, we expect to present a new model of your asset allocation using our 2016 capital markets assumptions. And when we met with you last time to determine the asset allocation, we said we'd come back to you annually with it. So this will be our first iteration of that. At the February meeting, we'll have a governance discussion and also start getting into the liquidity portfolio, which is a sizable part of the portfolio, about 24%. So we're going to want to start having those discussions with the idea that coming out of that meeting, we'll probably want direction to have to begin the search process and how we'll structure that search process with you.
And we should note that given that this is a non-standard, we're not buying a product off the shelf with this program. My staff and I have gone out to all of our existing fixed income managers and a couple of our select non-fixed income managers and basically asked them for their feedback on how they might approach this program, how they might measure success of the program, and how they might populate the program, just to kind of get that feedback going. And Verus has done likewise with a couple of outside parties. So we're soliciting feedback from the asset management community right now to help firm up the program.
Okay. Thank you. Rusty?
Yeah, just again on the minutes, November 24th, item 8, we'll need a correction. And again, I did listen to the recording. It was identified there too in the original agenda that the date was wrong. It was June 30th, 2015. It was put on the agenda, and again, in the notes here. But in actuality, it should have been September 30th, 2015 for the third quarter. And also, for the minutes on this particular item, it seems like we're quoting the figures out of the report rather than what was actually discussed in the presentation. And I'm just curious, as a board, what we'd like to see in the minutes. Do we want to see what we already see in the report as far as the figures, or do we want to be reminded what was actually discussed in the presentation? Because it seems like we've always been doing this with the report. We've just been taking numbers out of the book and putting that in there as far as the minutes are concerned, when really they're not addressed in the meeting and discussion so much as, you know, everything else that's been presented. So.
And you're on item 8.
Item 8 of November 24th. Okay.
Apparently, Todd, you were asleep at the wheel on this one.
I know.
Which one's still there?
Only so many.
Oh, that's an early one. They're still making fun of me.
I think it's a good point, and we will incorporate that.
It's like the second set.
Okay.
There was a change that was made, so we didn't accept those.
Yeah.
In dealing with a correction to 24 after it's been approved, November 24th.
Which set didn't we approve? It was 22nd.
It was the 4th that we didn't approve.
I'm sorry.
So this is one we have approved. Okay, now we're agreeing to the correction. Can we resubmit 24th for approval as corrected? Is there a motion to that? Okay. All right. So we've met what we need to do to correct that.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. And, I mean, Rusty also asked sort of a broad question going forward. Do we want to repeat as much as we have traditionally repeated from the basic report in the minutes, or summarize really the comments?
The latter for me. I don't
really say it. You know,
we already have the report, so
yeah.
The latter being
just
a
comments.
Of the comments.
Oh, the presentation, yeah.
Yeah.
And going forward, we'll incorporate that in those discussion to the minute.
Good.
Okay. Any other trustee comments?
Yes. Regarding corrections, I wasn't here this morning. I'm sorry for being late. But on December 2nd meeting, if you look at page 2, bottom of page 2, and top of page 3. Pigeon was no longer present for subsequent discussion and voting, and then Pigeon was present for subsequent discussion and voting. And I know I specifically was not here when we made that vote.
Which
was the talking
top?
About, yeah, it was talking about the constrained strategy. Which strategy we were.
Oh, yeah, because you walked out.
I walked out.
Yeah.
I was just done with you guys. No,
yeah.
No, I had to leave.
That was
leave.
A good call.
The best strategy.
Bill, were you back for the
line below the vote?
Section?
For the comments? No, I left. At all. I was at the end.
Left.
Yeah, I was gone for
you
the.
Didn't come back.
I did not.
Oh.
Yeah, we can make that correction.
So I think the one underlying, the first one underlying 10 would probably be
accurate.
If we.
Just take
the presence becoming present again.
Maybe I just thought you were
came back. Right?
I don't think I came back.
So on page 3, the top line that says Kitchen was present for subsequent discussion and voting. Still
yeah, I was not present.
Todd, since he listened to the recording.
Yeah.
It just looked like Will was here.
So are we asking Todd to re-listen?
Yeah, only so many hours in the day.
Pigeon does not come up in the list of voters, so
no,
all we need to do is eliminate the.
Yeah, I don't think I would have come up because I think I was.
He was the alternate. Yeah.
I was not. I did not have a voting seat that day.
We make that adjustment. Thank you.
Yes. Okay. Sorry for being late. And
the other.
Prematurely at December 2nd.
Any other trustee comments?
Pigeon's still
if
here.
Not. We made it. Meeting is adjourned.
Before two.
You could probably say.
Before two, like I said.
When I leave, you could probably just say, like, Pigeon has flown the coop.
You said it, we didn't.